I'd like to welcome our folks who are out there. Are we on time, guys? Awesome. I'd like to welcome the folks who are visiting with us, who are watching on the internet, whether it be Facebook or one of the other venues that's out there. We definitely welcome you, and we speak God's blessing into your life, and that blessing comes by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So today we are going to look at the Word of God and continue in our study looking at the one another's of Scripture. And we are in the one another's that speak of love. So I want to go back and just kind of recap a little bit about where we were. We began with many of the love one another's in the New Testament. And the reason that we broke it down the way we did is because the first group of one another's dealing with love all dealt with the command that God gave us, the new command. As we know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And the second command is much like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love one another. And it's in loving one another that we fulfill the law. Not that we have to fulfill the law. Christ is the fulfillment of the law. But in Christ, he wishes that we would fulfill his commands. And he gave us, how many commands did Christ give us? Love God, love one another, and go. The three commands that form the stance of our church. Why are we here? Well, every church is here to love God, to love others, and to go with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the folks on the internet are here with us today. That's part of our going. We're getting that message out there. And again, we thank you for being here, and we pray that things are a blessing for you. Well, we're going to pick up understanding that we've looked at the commands. We've looked at why God has told us to love one another and how that works in our lives and where it comes from. But now we're going to look at some of the things that tells us to do. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Galatians. We are in the fifth chapter. And we're going to begin in verse number 1. Your paper, how many of you brought your papers from last week? Let me see how many people get credits. I may have brought them from last week, not the one that's in your bulletin this week. I see two hands up, so that means the rest of you all, you know, you forgot, right? That's why I put them in this week too, because if it would have been up to me, I'd have forgot too. That's me, and I figured, hey, if I would have forgot, everybody else is probably going to too, and so you have new ones, right? Oh, Miss Dee Dee does have hers from last week. Woohoo, there's another kudos. Galatians. Oh, Miss Gloria found hers. Galatians 5, beginning in 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. Some of you are probably thinking, what does this have to do with loving one another? Well, just hang on. We'll get there. You have been severed. Wow, I can't speak today. You have been severed from Christ if you keep the law. Okay, that's what he's saying here. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who were troubling you would even mutilate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into the opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That scripture speaks to us so strongly today. Paul here was talking about a group of men who had come in among the Galatian church, and they were teaching circumcision once again. That if you really wanted to be in this Jewish cult, this thing that they're, you had to be circumcised. Well, that's not the truth. That was simply adding more burden to the people. And that's what Judaism had become, a burden to the people. It was not the freedom of the law that comes by loving God, but it was the standing under the law, doing all the things that you had to do. And we're all free of that now, right? We don't put any of those regulations before anybody, do we? I think it's so funny. I was literally in the presence of a bunch of pastors, and we were speaking, and the one person gave testimony of a gentleman who was at a church, and this was just a couple of days ago, and the pastor literally told the people that they weren't dressed right and they had to leave. How do you think that would go over? In some churches, it would be accepted. Well, those people deserved it. Did you see what they were wearing? It sounds to me like you're wearing some pretty harsh sin. It's called an attitude. I think Joyce Meyer has a word for that. We need to remember that if we put undue burdens on people, anything outside of Christ Jesus, we are literally preaching another gospel. We're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ accepts us where and how? As we are. Thank you, Miss Gloria. The gospel of Jesus Christ accepts us in the midst of our sewer and transplants us into the glory of God. Now, when we get transplanted, are we perfect? No, we still smell like the sewer because all that stuff is still on us and in us. Can I get an amen? But by the grace of God, he calls us sanctified. And it is through the progressive sanctification, the working of our souls with him, that we receive the transforming grace of God that changes us from glory to ever-increasing glory. Now, why do we still continue to put burdens before people? You know, we were just talking about this at the men's group here today, and it came up that the one church determined that you had to be baptized in the manner that they baptized. It didn't matter that you were immersion baptized already. Were you put down three times forward or one time backwards? How about one time in the Holy Spirit? Because that's all I need. And that doesn't have anything to do with the hands of men. Amen. And that to me is the most amazing thing, because we do put these regulations upon people. But Christ here tells us, the Holy Spirit here tells us through the apostle in verse number 13, that we were called to freedom, brethren. We were called to freedom, brethren. We were called to what?
Freedom.
Not obligation of the law, but freedom from it, because Christ has set us free. And in that, he tells us right there that we are to serve one another. And in that, he means walk with this brother who smells like the sewer, who just came out, because you need to remember where you came from. We have all been there. And I hate to say it, but, you know, we all laugh because I can remember sitcoms when I was a kid. And one of the funniest things was when somebody would come out of the bathroom and there'd be a piece of toilet tissue on their shoe and they'd be walking around. You all know what I mean, right? How many of us right now in our Christian walk have a piece of toilet tissue hanging on our shoe? Each and every one of us does. Okay? And those folks out there on the internet, they're probably thinking, this guy's weird. Yes, I are. That's the way God brought me up, and that's the way I'm going to be until he changes me into glory and ever-increasing glory. I'm going to be the man I am, just like Luke was the man he was, and he taught as a physician. So too am I going to preach like Richie Dubs from Hicktown Glen Rock. Okay? I don't expect to be anything more than that until the day he makes me, and I'll have a new name at that time. But you'll all know me. And I'll know all of you that are in Christ Jesus. And that includes you if you're out there watching us today. Because it's by faith through grace that we have been saved. Amen? And we need to understand that as we are saved, we need to serve one another. Not putting these burdens on each other. But removing the burdens. You know, I want you to think about it. How many of us are burdened by our sins? And that's the freedom of Jesus Christ, that we don't have to be burdened by that stuff anymore. You know, one of the greatest things that you'll ever hear is this person's testimony, because that speaks of the true freedom that they have had. That speaks of the burdens that have really been lifted off of them, because so many of us are walking around, even now in Christ, with these burdens from the past, you know, whether it be guilt or grief or remorse or whatever it might be. And we need to remember, Jesus has set us free from that. Who keeps us trapped in that stuff? It's us. But if we would have somebody walk alongside of us and truly love us and help carry our burden, we could actually begin to unload it. That's what it means to serve one another. It means to walk alongside, to carry the burden, and to help. Not to criticize, not to be critical, because to criticize, actually, that's a good word, right? If you look it up in the dictionary, to criticize is a good word. We've turned it into a bad word in the United States, well, I shouldn't say in the United States, in today's culture, because when we criticize somebody, we tear them down, don't we? And we don't just tear them down, we attack. I mean, we're like a pack of dogs. Because, well, who would be nice to me? Jesus Christ. In the midst of our stuff, he reached right into it and said what? I love you. The greatest words ever spoken. I love you. And that's what we need to be saying to one another. You know, we don't have to love where they are, but we have to love the person that's there to help get them to where God wants them to be. And us, in helping them, we're actually helping ourselves. We're growing in our faith, and we're being as Christ, who, as we read earlier, being made human, took upon himself the role of man, even becoming a servant unto death. That's what we need to be. That we would die to self and our self-righteousness. Ain't none of us got any of that, right? I got people smiling at me right now. It's funny because I can look you in the eye and every one of you are like, oh my gosh, he knows. Does he know? Does he really know? I may not, but we all know who does, amen? And he still loves me. Say that. And he still loves me. That's how we're to serve one another. That's how God serves us. He knows, and yet he continues to come after us and love us all the more. Well, the next one that I want us to look at here, if you'll flip over, is the Ephesians scripture. It's Ephesians 4:2. If you would, turn there in your Bibles to Ephesians 4 and 2. It's just front a couple pages from where you are. Said front, it's back. Oh my heavens. Ephesians 4 and 2. From verse 1, let's begin there. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere. To preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When we as Christ, when we as those who are being transformed, begin to walk in that love and how we are to love one another, it means that we need to walk in humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. You know, I'm amazed when I have conversations with people who are outside of the church. And you'll begin a conversation, and it generally starts something like this. Yeah, there's this guy that I work with, and man, you would not believe the things he does. Have any of you ever heard those conversations? How many of us are those conversations? And it says that we're supposed to be humble and gentle and patient and showing mercy. And it so amazes me because on the outside we may do that, but what really are we on the inside? You know, how many of you right now, if you really wanted to be honest with yourself and if you really wanted to be honest with the Lord, can say that every person in this room, this is just us. You know, you folks out there on the internet, I want you to think about your immediate group. How many of these people right here, right now, are you upset with? Oh, I'm not upset with any of them. God knows your heart. Stop lying. Because we all do it. Okay? And for some, it may not be anybody in here because you're not really connected well enough, but there's somebody out there that you're around, and when you're around them, you smile. You know that person? You know that person. You smile, and you're, oh, hi, how's it going? Oh, yeah, oh, yes, oh, that's a lovely sweater today, yeah. And when you walk away from them, you're like, oh, my God. I think it's amazing because we're in Christ, right? That's showing patience. That's showing humility. That's showing gentleness. No, it's not. It's being fake. To be genuine, we need to talk to the people that we have a problem with. And we need to let them know that we have a problem, but not that we're holding them to it. We're holding ourselves to it. Because I hate to tell you this, 90% of the problems you have are you. You may not want to admit that, but the reality is you're the one with a problem. It so amazes me. Do you know how long it took me to realize that in my life? I'm 55. I think I figured it out yesterday. I'm still working on it. Because it's a reality. I will catch my own self in the midst of a conversation. How many of y'all, nobody talks to themselves in this church, right?
I answer back.
I do too. Now, I don't argue with myself yet, but I'm getting pretty close. She said she answers herself. But I want you to think about it, okay? If you really sit down and you talk to yourself is the one with the problem. The other person, they may not even know what they're doing, is upsetting you. You may not understand that they have, you know, their onion is this big, but you aren't thinking about their onion, you're thinking about your onion. You know what your onion is. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? That's your life. That's your life. And each and every one of us, our onion, our life, has layers, okay? If you've ever cleaned an onion, you know what I mean. When you cut the shell off, you peel the layers off until you get down to the good onion inside. Okay, but if you keep going, there are layers the whole way in. I swear, I've got one of those giant Vidalia onions as a life, you know, one of them suckers that's this big. And every time something comes, that's another layer to my onion. Well, the reality is, I have no idea how big this other person's onion. I don't know where they are. I don't know what's going on in their life. You know, they may have just gotten fired. They may have had an argument with their child. They may have. I don't know unless I engage. And that's what it means to walk in humility and gentleness. That person may have 10 times more of a need than you do. Because really, right now, all you're worried about, if you're talking like that, if you're arguing with yourself like that, if you're getting upset because, well, they didn't say hi to me. Big deal. Neither did 200 million people today. Get over yourself and get into Christ. And remember, He looks to others, not to himself. And that's what we need to do. We need to walk gently and carry a big stick to beat the devil with, okay? And sometimes our own selves spiritually. It's a discipline, and it's hard. It's difficult because this self wants to rise up, doesn't it? We all want people to recognize us, right? What is the one name that is above every name in every human being's mind? Your own. When you walk into a group of 50 people, you are waiting to hear somebody else's name called out, right? No. When you walk into a group of 50 people, you're waiting for somebody to recognize you and speak your name. That's human nature. But the nature of Christ says less of me and more of him. And yeah, I sound like I'm beating you up. I don't want to beat you up. I want you to understand the word speaks to us about who we are. And how many of us are sinners? How many of us need grace? Whew. How many of us need to be grace in our world? That's what I'm talking about. We need the very same grace. You know, I get to stand up front here and say to you right now the things that I won't say to you in working with you or walking around, because there I need to be the person I'm speaking of. Here I can rebuke. Here I can say the things that I need to say as a pastor to teach the word, okay? But then outside of it, I need to what? Be the word, which means I need to get over myself, my own hurt feelings. And I'll tell you right now, pastors get hurt feelings. We're human too. And there are so many times my son has said to me, "Dad, I cannot believe that you let them do that." Okay, this is when he was little and didn't understand. Okay, and I look at him and I'll say, "Skeeter, they're just people." I said, "If I'm screwed up and I'm the pastor, how bad do you think they really are?" You notice what I just did there? I compared us. And that's not even right. That's my human nature. And I got to get over that. Because what I have to look at is say, we're all equal. We're all sinners, saved by grace. Amen. Amen. And that's it. I put my pants on one leg at a time. David keeps telling everybody he does a half double gainer or whatever. Lands with both legs.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, Miss Amy says. We have testimony.
But we need to bear one another up in love. Walk that mile. If somebody's, I'm going to say it this way. If somebody's pulling your chain, you need to go spend some time with that person. You need to find out what's going on in their life. Because they may need you more than you really think. Because I'll guarantee you, there's a world out there that needs us so badly. And if we can't treat one another in love, how are we going to love the world in Christ? The next one I want us to look at, you're all going to love this one, okay? This is 1 Peter chapter 5 and 14. And I love this, and I'm just going to read it off of the sheet here. I'm not going to go any further, not going to pull anything more into it. It says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Okay, guys, how do you feel about that? Notice I didn't ask the girls. How do you feel about that, guys? I could walk up to, I'm going to say 50% now, 70% now, 80% of you right now, and say, you want to kiss me? And I'll bet you I know the answer. I got a young lady here blushing. Oh, my goodness. The reality is this is a cultural greeting, okay? In this day, it was very usual. If you lived in France, you would kiss a brother when you met them. You kiss them on the cheek, okay? And it's a side kiss. It's how my son kisses me. Every time we part, my son gives me a kiss, okay? And I love it. He's 20. This is 2018. He'll be 28 this year. And at 28, my son kisses me on the cheek every time he leaves me. You don't know how that tugs this old man's heart. I did something right. That's all I have to say. And that was finding Christ, because I can't take credit for any of the rest of it. That was all God in him. But it so amazes me, because what I'm talking about here is, let's get culturally relevant in our own world, okay? You will see me if you watch me. I know there are men here who will allow me to do it, and I do it. I hug them, and I tell them I love you. And I make sure, there's a group of them that I make sure every week they hear those words from Pastor. Every week, they hear those words from Pastor. Because I'm trying to grow those men up. And as time goes by and I see them growing up, I'm going to be reaching out and bringing in others. But I will hug them. Some of them, okay? Stand up, Brother Matt. Hand the baby over. Let's go up front here, because I want the people on the internet to see this. Some of those people I will hug like this. There you go. Okay? That's 90% of my hugs. The other 10% are like this. Thank you. You'll be getting that kind of hug from now on. Because that's acceptable in our culture. Folks, what I'm talking about here is God wants us to be intimate with one another. And I'm talking holy intimate, not worldly intimate, okay? Our world looks at intimate as being sexual relationship. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what the scripture here is talking about. It's talking about showing our love towards one another in a holy and acceptable way. You know, if we can't express our love to one another, how are people going to know? You know, I think about husbands and wives. Guys, how many times a day do you tell your wife you love her? I want you to think about that. Because right now, I can guarantee you, oh, well, you know, she knows I love her. Really? Have you told her? Because unless you tell her, unless she hears those words, she's wondering why she's not hearing those words. She's thinking there may be something wrong with her. And the whole time, there's nothing wrong with her. It's me. Ladies, when was the last time you hugged that brat of a child that you just want to kick down the stairs? Some of you are laughing, and others of you are saying, I can't even put my arms around him right now. That's okay, Ruth. That time will change. And some of us are saying they're in eternity and I can't do it for quite some time. But the neat thing is God has his arms around them and he's telling them that they're loved. They know a love like we'll never know. Well, at least not for a while. My point is this. If you want people to know you love them, you got to say it and you got to show it. Don't make them guess. Our world wants to be loved for no other reason than the fact that they're alive. That's how we are. We want to know somebody cares for us. How many of you know for a fact, without any regard, that Jesus Christ loves you? How many of you here feel that love in a very real and sensible way every day? God does something just for you to let you know, I love you. We need to be that same type of individual in our world. We need to greet one another with a holy kiss, the kiss of love. And I'm speaking that culturally, okay? Not necessarily physically. Now, there may be those that you can. You know, my son, when we part, he gives me a kiss. Praise God, I can receive that from him. Others are going to need an embrace. Some just need a word. But we need to act. And the last place we're going to go is Romans 12 and 10. I'm going to read it right off our sheet. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Folks, this is the greatest form of love that we can show. Jesus loved us so much that he laid down his life for us. That is brotherly love. And we need to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That means my stuff has to become second place. Okay? Your stuff needs to be more important than my stuff. When I am working, when I'm dealing with you, Shy Shy, who should I be thinking of? Exactly. So what happens when my cell phone goes off? Ignore it. Thank you. It does not exist. When I am in your presence and I am talking to you, you are to be my sole thought and responsibility. The rest of the world disappears. Because if I answer that cell phone, who did I just tell her is more important than her? Myself. And that's wrong. People need to know that they're loved. Because how do we get that? Every morning. How many of you wake up every morning and the sun comes up? Huh? How many of you realize that when you need water, you can turn on the faucet and there it is? Huh? How many of you realize you flick the light switch on the wall and the power comes on? Huh? My point is this. God loves us so much that his love is shown throughout his creation. Everything that is was created for us. Do you realize that? Everything that is was created for us. None of it was created for him. We need to show that same kind of love. And God wants us to be as devoted. I want you to think about this. How big's the universe? We can't comprehend that. You know, that is such a stupid question. Because we are as a particle of dust when it comes to the size of our universe. And it was all created for us. If you can wrap your head around that, and you
might, you just might be able to understand what it means to be devoted to others. Our lives given away, given to others for service. And I know there are many of you who do. I mean, Missy, you just had the, where you went and cleaned the park. What was that called? United Way Day of Caring. Thank you. I couldn't remember what it was called. Mitch, how many Bibles did you give out this year?
I don't know.
Miss Dottie, how many lesson plans have you gone over this year?
Not enough.
Not enough. And I could go around and talk to each and every one of you. But to those that I've spoken to, how much more is there? A lot. Brothers and sisters, we have a lot of loving to do, don't we? And that love needs not to be center-focused, but outward-focused. So today, I challenge you to love one another in this manner. Love one another, serving one another. Love one another by being gentle to one another. Love one another by honoring one another. That's what the Scripture speaks of. And love one another by showing it in real time. Don't just think it. Show it. Be that love in reality. There's a story of a little girl. She went to her mom. She was crying. She told her, she said, "Mom, I just need a hug. I need a hug." So her mom hugged her and she said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "Well, I got scared." And she said, "Well, you know, God's always with you." She said, "Yeah, but every now and then I need somebody that has skin on." And sometimes, just sometimes, God uses us as his skin. Hug somebody today. Love somebody today. Be Christ to somebody today. Would you rise and pray? Father God, we thank you that you first loved us, that you have shown us what love is. And now, Lord, may we love one another and then take that out and go into the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is loving one another. Loving one another with the word of Christ and in the reality of life. Father, as we go, we pray that you would bless our hearers, that they would understand and know that you are God and God alone. And Lord, may we help in some small way. But Father, for us now, there is the reality of loving you and loving each other as you have loved us. May we be the person Christ wants us to be. May we be the image bearers once again of your love, of your statutes, of your precepts, and may they shine in truth. For love truly has set us free. Free from the old nature, free to the new nature. Father, thank you for that love, and bless us, we pray, in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.